Those that are standing with me, turn to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 17. My plans are to finish it. Chapter 17. Chapter 17. My plans are to finish chapter 17. It is a big chapter, but it's a wonderful thing. I think we'll just read about the first six verses. I'll read one, and you read one, and read them aloud. Let's try to stay together. We'll take these six verses on chapter 17 and just go through verse 6. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters.
With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have done wrong fornication.
So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth.
And I saw a woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And I saw her sitting on the throne, I wondered with great admiration.
Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for the word we have in our hands. How we thank you for the opportunity freely to come together and to discuss this and study it and talk about it and be blessed by it. I thank you, Lord, for all your great blessings of salvation. Have your way in each of our lives today. We have people here with needs. Every one of us has some needs. And we pray, God, your Holy Spirit will guide us and help us and draw us into your will. Give me a freedom and ease to speak. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We all did pretty well on that reading. We didn't get too far distance from one another. Amen.
Amen.
This is a very interesting chapter. In fact, all of Revelation is. I'm actually amazed when I think this was written in about 96 A.D. It wasn't written in 1500. It wasn't written in 1800. This was written by the Apostle John at about 96 A.D. And the truth that comes out of these chapters, this is something else. Now, we're going to be talking about Mystery Babylon. And so there's a bunch of different ideas about this. The ecumenical people that do not want to hurt Catholic feelings, they will say God is going to restore Babylon, going to build it again so he can destroy it, and this will be a description of it. Some people think it is the Mystery Babylon is Jerusalem, and others think it is some other, the United States. I've heard it interpreted that way. I don't think it is. And I think maybe I can make it fairly clear to you, if you follow along with me today, that Mystery Babylon is Rome.
Yep.
It is the Roman Catholic Church based in Babylon. And because of all of the things here, there's so much descriptive in this chapter, and I'd like to finish this chapter at least before I'm through. Okay. One of the seven angels, remember we had seven angels came out, which had the seven vials, the bowls that were full of the last of the wrath of God to come upon the earth in this time of tribulation, and talked with me, and they said, Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, we're talking about a great whore. Now, what is a whore? A whore is someone who gives her love for money. She's not faithful to anybody. She's out for only her own interests. And it's something that in most of history is despised. And then, too, when you think about it, man, what a wonderful thing to have a faithful wife.
Amen.
Not someone like Hosea that had to go buy his wife back for a sum. So this is a great whore. But now what it's talking about is a church, a city, and a church. Now how could she be a whore? Well, if you're the church, we're the church of the living God. We have the Word of God. We say we believe the Word of God. We say we're trying to teach it. What if somebody in the church didn't like what the Word of God said? And they said, well, I won't give my money unless you quit preaching that particular thing. And what if we did that? You know, it's happening everywhere around the world, right here today. People don't get the truth of the Word of God because it would cost them money. Isn't that something? Well, we'll cut our money off. Suppose you're a hard-headed preacher in some of these churches, that especially by vote of the people or by deacon board or something like that. Well, they just let you know, look for another place to go. You know how long an average pastor lasts in a Southern Baptist church? 3 years, that's the average. They keep trading them. Well, maybe he only has 3 years of good sermons, I don't know. Or maybe about 3 years, he's all of his good sermons three times. And so they're tired of him, and they say, move, we want another guy with a new set of three new sermons, you know. So you can compromise the Word of God, and by doing so, you become a prostitute of the things of God. And that's exactly what this thing is talking about. This place is going to be very rich. Seven angels, and one of those seven angels came again. He said, come hither, I will show thee the judgment. Now what this chapter is talking about, and the next chapter too also, is going to be the judgment of the great whore. She's not judged yet. She's glorious in her riches and wealth and in her power. He says right here, she sits upon many waters. I don't know how many times I've told you. If you just keep reading the book, it'll tell you what it means. It'll define itself. The Bible defines itself all through. If you know the words, and you need to keep a good dictionary beside you that has various meanings, and a good college dictionary or a very old one, and that could understand some of these things, and you'll understand. But then what is the waters here? Great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Well, later on in this chapter right here, you're going to find out many waters. It's people, multitudes, nations of people. Those waters that they're talking about, this whore sitting upon them, this is multitudes of people all over the world. Okay. The great whore, it's her judgment, that she that sitteth on many waters. Now notice what it says in verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. She is supposed to tell the truth, but she doesn't tell the truth. She's supposed to be of God, but she wants money. She wants riches and wealth. And what we're talking about here is a very, very rich woman that he's describing to you here. Now, the kings of the earth, the city of Rome became a power about 500 years before Christ. And she fell from her great power about 500 years after Christ. And Constantine had built Constantinople, and he had moved a lot of the power of the Roman Empire over there. And the city of Rome actually fell to Germanic tribes. And so we got England, France, Germany, Belgium, what all these places. You know what they were? The Romans got tired of fighting. These big generals, Julius Caesar was a general. Mark Antony, he was a general. These guys had armies behind them, and they fought and they conquered territory for Rome, and then they became the leaders of Rome and whatever. Well, the generation after them were a little bit sissy. That seemed bad to you? Well, they started hiring their done. I mean, we're going to sit back at our ease in our baths, and in all of our food, and with our servants, and whatever. Let's hire those Germans, those Germanic tribes. And so they got a hold of them, and they had them fight their battles. Well, it wasn't but just a short time. This is just natural history. You can read about it. In a short time, these Germans say, what are we fighting for them for? We can take them. They're a bunch of sissies. They're a bunch of little set-ups. They're politicians. They're rich men that hire everything done. And they went in and took them out. And so you have England, got one spot, France, another, Germany, another. And all of it was divided up. What was left? The church. Remember what happened? Constantine decided, he got a vision. And he decided he could conquer under the sign of the cross. So he professed himself to now be a believer. Christianity was outlawed. And they were killing a lot of Christians. And they killed Jews and Christians because they would not honor the emperor as a god. So he decides he's going to conquer Rome in about 300 AD, something like that, 325. And he conquers in the name of the cross. He had his army baptized in the river, everything but their sword arm. Your soul belongs to God. Your sword belongs to Constantine. He went in and he conquered. And when he did, after a little while, he made Christianity a legal religion. Now you could be a Christian and not be burned at the stake or on the cross or whatever. Well, it wasn't long after that, he made it the only religion. Now, what do you got in the Roman Empire? Everywhere they go, they just conquer and take what they have. Conquer and take what they have, and they control. They had a whole lot of different religions in there. And if you already got 45 gods, what's adding the emperor to it? No big deal. I'll kiss the emperor's toe, you know. So at any rate, they had all of these different religions. Many of them came from Babylon. Babylon's way back there. But a lot of that stuff that out of Babylon come right on down through Rome. Okay, now we're going to make 325 or something like that. We're going to make Christianity the only religion. What's that going to do? You got all these people, they're not Christians. You got a very small minority that are really born-again people. But now then, it's the accepted religion. So what are you going to do? Well, you take this feast, give it a Christian name. Take this day, give it a Christian name. Take Easter, give it a Christian name. Christ did not resurrect on Easter. We celebrate it every year, almost all over the world. Did you know that Easter comes at a different time every year? He didn't rise from the dead on a different day, you know? No. Easter is the spring equinox, about March 21st, somewhere along in there, where day and night are exactly equal. Equinox. The first full moon after the spring equinox, then the first Sunday after the first full moon, that's Easter. And it runs from early in March, from March time where, somewhere into April, something like that. Every year you get a different day off to go to have Good Friday. Well, by the way, Jesus couldn't have been crucified on Friday. He said 3 days and three nights. You can't get three nights in there. Maybe it's a good Wednesday. Maybe it's a good Thursday, but it's sure not a good Friday. At any rate, so all of these things, they've got problems. You think you got problems? I think I have problems sometimes. Here I am. All my young people that I started this church with and really went on, they're all grandparents now. They're grandparents, I tell you what. And I must be getting old. Something happened to me. No, thank you very much. At any rate, you have all of the religions. Well, they have a drunken feast about 2 weeks in December. Well, they named that Christmas. They put that in as the birth of Christ. Now, it wasn't it, not anywhere close to it. They had Easter, they said that, the resurrection of Christ. And so, what do Easter eggs, chicken eggs, what do chicken eggs, little chickens, Easter bunnies, have to do with the resurrection of Christ? Nothing. They had to do with fertility. Easter is something to plant your crops by. The Indians all across the world, They will watch the phases of the moon and things like this, and they plant their crops by that. They don't have the kind of calendars that we have. It's fertility. And so, looking at all the different things that come out, they had to have a name for them. Exactly what they did. And in fact, the Catholic Church has done that around the world. Cain conquered a lot of the world. And when they conquered with a priest. A priest went along with the soldiers. And they taught and they found things that the Indians worshiped. They gave them a Christian name and gave them back to them. Well, that's what you had in Rome. They gave pagan rites and symbols Christian names. Now, how did we get them? Well, we're Protestants, so to speak. You say, I never protested anything. Well, shame, you ought to protest some things. Amen?
Amen.
I think you ought to protest some things. At any rate, many of them that broke away did not think about all of these things I'm talking about. They were used to celebrating Christmas and Easter and Valentine's and whatever. And so they kept them up, though they're a Protestant religion, such as Lutheranism, Methodism, Baptist, and whatever. So they didn't take care of these things, and they didn't change them. They kept them, and they're right on down with us today. So they're a part of our culture, but the way they got that way was the Roman Empire made everybody be a Christian. So to how you could get these people to be a Christian is celebrate their gods, celebrate their celebrations, just give them a Christian name. And that's where you got a whole lot of the stuff that you got. Now what we have here is this woman. He said here, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with this woman. The kings of the earth, and Spain was a very good one, very much to the Pope's wishes. What you had is when the Roman half of the government fell, of the Roman Empire, then you had the church took over and had control over these different places. Did you know that the Roman Catholic religion is a state? Not just religion, it's a state. Big bank. They got an army. They make contracts. They sign agreements with leaders. Hitler and Mussolini had Catholic agreements in World War II. So you got all of this stuff mingled together. What would that do? What would that bring about? A whole lot of idolatry. You take a look at Catholic churches. Take a look at Rome. My wife visited Rome with three other ladies. Four different decades went to Rome together. And they had a ball. They weren't looking for men or bars. But they looked at all the different sites and whatever. And they took pictures of all these things. So you've got all of this idolatry that's mixed in and accepted and promoted as something religious that you should do. So, once the kingdoms broke up, then England, the king wanted to divorce his wife. The Pope said, no, you can't divorce your wife. And so he just cut off the Pope, made the king the Church of England. The Queen's now still the head of the Church of England. That's how all of this thing, and you and I are down here at the end of this thing, and you got all of these things together. And it's a little confusing times, isn't it? But that's because this church right here in Rome committed fornication. They were supposed to be of the Word of God. Okay. And look at the people. They're drunk with wine over fornication. I don't know how many Catholics I have met in my years of witnessing that didn't go to church. They didn't give any money. They didn't go to confession. But you ask them, I'm a Catholic. They like their religion. It doesn't bother them. They don't want to go to hear some preacher tell them they're wrong. No, they don't want to do things like that. Now, I believe that many Catholics could even be saved. Depends on their own personal relationship with the Lord God Almighty. And the Catholic does at least teach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. and forgiveness of sins. So some of the Catholics I have met, they look to me like they went bypassed the priest and whatever and went to God. And I'm hoping for a whole lot that way. But at any rate, they committed fornication with the inhabitants of the earth, made them drink the wine of her fornication. So he carried away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Wow. How about that beast? Got seven heads, got ten horns. And names of blasphemy. You know what? Every time I watch television, I hear blasphemy. Watching some of these movies, you get a lot of blasphemy. These people don't know what they're saying. And they don't think about it. And sometimes you get in the habit of watching it, and you don't think about it. Can you hear yourself saying, oh my? Well, watch out. Don't put God's name anywhere in there. And by the way, don't even get it close. Don't say gosh. Oh my gosh, that's just a substitute. Most people think the other. Isn't that right? Well, people don't like talking like that, so forgive me. Seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. She's rich. She's adorned in scarlet. She's got so much money. It's amazing. She's into commerce. She's into all sorts of things. And that's exactly what it is. And that's the reason why that she can't perform what she needs to do for God. All right. Having a golden cup. Have you ever seen the golden cup? Pay attention. Look every once in a while on things that come out. Catholic Church sometimes has a golden cup that they're holding up there. Well, looks like it to me. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Wow. That's Mystery Babylon. I don't think God's going to have Babylon rebuilt. I think this is spiritually Babylon. They've got the same spirit as Babylon had, only thing it's covered over with the name of Christianity. The Catholic Church is a combination of Judaism with their priesthood, Christianity with Christ and apostles and whatever, and all of the pagan rites of the world. They're all together there. And it's pretty hard to even dig it all out. Now, I'm not trying to hurt you if you're a Catholic. I'm just trying to explain this chapter. I am amazed at the clarity of this chapter written in 96 A.D. I don't think Mystery Babylon is the United States, although we fit. I don't think it is Jerusalem, although a lot of saints died in Jerusalem. I think it is Rome. And I have several different reasons. I'll give you some more as we come on down the line. It's called Mystery Babylon. Maybe its name is Rome, but it's Mystery Babylon. So Rome, it has the mystery, has the science, has the religion, has the thinking of Babylon. Think of all of the idolatry. All of the things that have to be blessed. I don't want a priest coming in and blessing my house. I don't need a priest. I am a priest. Are you a priest? Aren't you a priest of the living God?
Amen.
I am. You are too. We are the church. Got to read your Bible.
Amen.
Mystery Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Wow. What a description. Okay, you'll see some more ideas about that. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. What other city could have that said about it? Anybody? You even have one that could be offered up? Some people think maybe Jerusalem, but no, don't think so. I think it's Roman. There were 10 great persecutions of Christians during the time of the Roman Empire. They killed them. They burned them at the stake. They took them out, let them fight things in the Colosseum, and they died. They killed a number of them. They couldn't kill it out. So they finally joined it. But that's the city. That's the city right there. That's Rome. Martyrs of Jesus, the blood of the martyrs. When I saw, I wondered with a great admiration. Now that doesn't exactly mean that he was happy about it. It doesn't mean that, it meant it surprised him. Wow. Never thought about anything like that. Wow. Admiration. Verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast which thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. This is a ruler that gets a resurrection, just like Jesus Christ got a resurrection. And as we read about him already in the book of Revelation, back over there in several chapters, he had a deadly wound, he dies, he's resurrected, he comes up. And so he has great power, and he looks like Jesus Christ. He's the Antichrist. He goes into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Praise God. God knew who you were before you were ever conceived. When you were a gleam in your daddy's eye, God already knew about you and knew where you were going to go. Wonderful thing. It says here, the beast, the book of life. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. Have you ever heard of the city of 7 hills? Anybody? Yes. Ever heard of the city of 7 hills? It's Rome. It's Rome. Now what would you say about San Antonio? Well, the flat semi-desert place that has a creek. And we call it River City. We dammed up that creek, made it a river. And it goes all the way, the river, San Juan River, goes all the way to the coast. So, it's something like that. But now the city of 7 hills, it's not the ancient Babylon. It's not England, it's not the United States, it's Rome. It's Rome. All right, let's see. I don't know where I was. Chapter 7. We'll tell you the mystery of the beast that carried her. The beast was not, what of life. Here is the mind which hath wisdom, verse 9. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. The woman's sitting over Rome. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, 1 is, and another is not yet come. Okay, he's giving you a time period there. When he cometh, he must continue as short. Verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is 1 of the 7, and goeth into perdition. Now I'll let you try to figure that out. I love commentaries. I had a bunch of them in my life. Most of them are gone now. What is an amazing thing to me on the commentaries, I bought them so that they would help me with verses I had a problem with. I didn't need them for everything, just certain verses. It is amazing to me that I go get the commentary and look at that verse that I'm looking at in the Bible and understand. They don't even mention it. It's a big dummy. He's not going to make a statement about it. He doesn't know anything about it either. He doesn't know any more than I know. You ever had a problem on interpreting everything? Do I understand everything? No, I don't. I understand enough. Praise the Lord. Okay. And the verse 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. Now, is that a definition? Yeah, he defines it for you. There's 10 kings that are going to be there that she is going to be in control of, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. You remember the statue that Daniel told us about? And when you got out these feet, you had 10 toes. Those 10 toes are the same 10 kings that you have right here, these kingdoms. Okay? They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. You know what I know? We're going to win in the end. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Amen. God's going to win. That doesn't mean some of you may not die. You will. Well, it goes. We live and we die. Some of us live longer than others. We don't understand some things. But at any rate, 10 kings have no kingdom as yet. And look at the understanding that John has of this thing, just like Daniel. They have one mind. They're going to make war with the Lamb. And hey, the Lamb shall overcome him because he's Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. And they that are with him are you? Called and chosen and faithful. Wow. Those are pretty good words. You've been called? Yeah. Did you answer? Hope so. Chosen? Yeah. You accepted the Lord. And God put you in. And how about being faithful? Faithful. Praise the Lord. Good words. These shall make war with the Lamb, and he shall overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Then saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest. Didn't I tell you a little while ago? And I've told you for years, if you'll keep reading, you will get a lot of answers. A lot of answers, and they'll be right from the Bible. Well, he's going to give you the answer to this one right here. What about the waters? Here's this great woman on this beast, and there's this great deal of water. She's covering this waters. What are those waters? Well, let's see what he says. Okay. And he said unto me, verse 15, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Wow. That's a lot of influence. And there is a lot of influence. I'm thinking, and this is just off the top of my head, I'm not sure about my memory anymore, that the Catholic Church claims 900 million in its church around the world. That's a lot of people. We got, what, 8 billion? That's just about a billion. One-eighth of the world is in the Catholic Church or connected to it somehow like that. That's pretty big. Awful lot. And the 10 horns, verse 16, thou sawest upon the beast, shall hate the whore. Oh, they're getting ready to turn something here. And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. These 10 kings are going to turn on Rome, or the Roman Catholic Church, and destroy her, because it's the will of God. Do you ever realize that the wicked are sometimes God's army?
Yes.
It's hard for us to understand. We don't like the idea, but that's the truth. Sometimes we need to be brought up on our consciences. We need maybe a depression. Brother Jack Woods used to preach down in Houston, and I had him here a couple of times. And one of the things Jack Woods was saying, we need another depression. We need another depression. I'm praying for a depression. I said, I'm not that spiritual. I'm not praying for a depression. I don't want a depression. I was born in the depression. I don't want any more of that. From what all I've heard and all I've read, woo! But you know what it did? It broke a lot of people. But it made a lot of people too. Some people were made really smart by that depression. They learned how to live life. Learned how to trust God. They learned how to not put too much store in all of the wealth that the world has here. They learned some things and made some people. It sure did. And the 10 horns, verse 16, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Rome's going to get hers. You know, we're talking about judgment. This is a book of process judgment. It is judgment from the time it comes to the churches. Chapter 4, as you go past that, we start into the judgment of God upon the earth. The day of Jacob's trouble, it's called in the book. The great tribulation period, it's called. The day of God. All of these things. There is a judgment coming. Read every place in the Old Testament. You got these prophets telling them there's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. Wasn't it Enoch that walked with God? Didn't he prophesy that God was going to come with 10,000 of his angels? That's what it says. Something like that. My memory's not wrong. Look what verse 17 says. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. All this trouble is not always the wrong thing. Sometimes God uses trouble. Now, if you're going through trouble, don't get me wrong. I don't sit by and judge other people simply because of things that happen in their life. I've seen too much. I've seen really sweet people that didn't look like they had a wicked thought, and they'd go through some terrible, terrible things. And some people to say, because of their sin. Well, let me tell you what. If you got trouble, I'd look at my sin. If trouble's come in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, financial, whatever, the very first thing I'd do, I would say, what do I need to repent of? Amen. Am I wrong? Have I done anybody wrong? Is there something I need to do? That's just first of all, and that's personally yours. You on the outside don't have a right to walk over them and tell them that. You understand what I'm saying? You don't know, and by the way, you don't know what will hit you next month. You get all fancy and thinking, I'm the blessed of God. I'm just all of my blessings are coming my way because I'm so good. No, you're not that good. And the blessing don't come your way because you're so good. They come because of the loving kindness of God. God is a merciful God, and He loves you. But did you ever spank your children? Oh, don't tell me you're modern and you never touched them. I know I was in a grocery store and this lady was saying, if you don't do that, if you don't stop that, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you. I bet I heard her say it 10 times. She ain't hit him yet. I said, hit him once. At least hit him once. Let him know he's going to have to pay for something. Spankings did me good. They didn't hurt me much. Oh, you got to cry to get them to stop. But they didn't hurt me much. Did me good. And you know, you learn some things from trouble. Have you thought about it? You do certain things, you get yourself in trouble. Yes. Now, why do young people get themselves in trouble? I worry about all my grandchildren and great-grandchildren because they're young. They got all sorts of decisions to make. Do we always make good decisions? No, we don't. Some of them we suffer for the rest of our lives. So I pray for people that are in trouble and trying to make decisions. Sometimes your trouble comes to you to make you better. Sometimes that's the only way God can stop it. Some of these mothers and fathers have no discipline over their children, and their children go to jail. And sometimes those guys that went to jail and come out, they turn out good. They said, I don't want that anymore. You didn't control them. The government finally controlled them. And what we have today, I'm sorry, this is an old man looking on life. What we have today is a bunch of undisciplined kids. Amen. You ought to have sympathy for every school teacher you know. I mean, they have a problem. They really do. When I first started teaching back in 1961, I had a paddle in my room. I busted them just like my own kids. Set them down. You can go tell anybody about it. Didn't inform anybody. And the parents come up and thank me. I had a memorized scripture back in those days in my English classes because it's the greatest English book ever written. I said, you ought to know some of it. And so I had them memorized scriptures. And they came up and thanked me. They didn't try to sue me. They didn't try to fire me. We got a different generation, bless your hearts. The only problem is, this generation is heading the wrong direction. And all of this blasphemy and all of this idolatry and all, covetousness is idolatry. You're going to tell me you're not covetous? I don't think there's anybody in this room that's not covetous. Maybe you just want it just to hang in your closet. I mean, maybe you just want it just to put in, to fill up your garage. Maybe you just want it to say, I have it. But it's covetousness anyway. And that's idolatry. We put a lot of things ahead of God. And sometimes God has to shock us a little bit. Maybe a sickness. Maybe a pain. Maybe a financial disaster. You don't know how good you got it. We Americans are the biggest gripers that I think ever lived.
Amen.
And we got it better than anybody that
Thank
ever lived.
Lord, amen.
You live in your air-conditioned house, your heated house. You've got all this food coming into you. You go into grocery stores, they're just packed and packed and packed and packed.
Amen.
Till a hurricane comes. For God hath put in their hearts to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Have you noticed a couple of statements in there? They were the will of God. God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will. Verse 17. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. What city has reigned over the kings of the earth? Rome. For hundreds of years. And with a very powerful thing. They didn't want to be excommunicated. They had a belief enough in what they'd been taught. That they respected the Pope, feared the Pope. He was the vicar of Christ. He was Christ on the earth. When He spoke, it was like the Bible. Roman Catholic Church has three sources. It's the Bible. It's the words of the Pope and the words of all previous popes. Well, a lot of people believe that. I just have one. It's the Bible. And you know, I'm just amazed that this chapter was written in 96 AD. Well, God bless you.